It is good to be in the house of the Lord. We've tried to have that with the TV, right? It's not the same thing, you know? And that I'm very thankful for our churches and individuals that are on TV sharing the gospel message with everyone. But can I just echo on that? That's not church. It's church where it is, but it's not church watching it. Because he's not called us to be spectators, amen? He's called us to be participants in his kingdom. And so I'm just so thankful to be a part of this body and what God is doing, amen? Amen. In your bulletin, there's some announcements. The two inserts of You Say and God Says, and then the new series I'm going to start is It's All in Your Mind, just some things God's been placing in my heart. You're going to need them out in just a few moments. But also in your bulletin, lots of announcements. A reminder, we have a marriage night coming up with Right Now Media. It's going to be hosted here. I just really encourage you. It's going to be a fun time. We're going to serve desserts, so hey, your husbands want to come. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a great time on a Friday night. We're going to have stuff for the adults. We're working on things for the kids if there's young parents. If you're single and you're like, hey, I want to know some things, great time to come out and learn about it. Amen. And so that's on June 7th. I encourage you to register. You need to register for that because we have to pay Right Now Media for that. It's $15 US, which is about $20 Canadian. But I can promise you we could not bring Francis Chan here and his wife and that for probably less than 10, 15 grand. By the time we flew him in and did everything else, it would be pretty pricey. And this is a good way that God can bring that to us and open the door for us. Lots of announcements. I just reminded you, a newcomer's lunch today. So if you are new and you haven't been to one of our newcomer's lunch before, then don't worry about it. Just come. We have more than enough food. And that, Jane, why don't you come on up? You got an announcement. But we have more than enough food. And so I just encourage you after the service, for those that are new and you haven't come to a newcomer's lunch and you want to connect, then I encourage you to do that. That's going to be following the service just outside here into the youth room. We have a worship practice later this afternoon for all of the ones there. We also are setting up for our VBS. We're going to run two this year, one for the younger age, one for the older age. Details are in the bulletin. If you can help us out, you know, it's more than many hands make light work, right? It's more than that. That's true, right? But it's your spirit connected to my spirit, connected to someone else's spirit, connected to God makes all the difference. You have something to offer. Your prayers matter. Your support matters. So I encourage you with that. Come and join in with us. The last thing is, there is a pledge form again. I just encourage you, if you have yet, to make a pledge towards our chairs and our changeover and what we're going to be doing here, then I really encourage you to do that. You'll see we're only $8,400 off our target. Also, you probably got an email out stating that on Monday, we will be removing the pews, and on Monday we'll be receiving the chairs. And we're so excited about that. We took a step ahead by faith because of the fact that the price changed. They gave us the chairs at a discounted price, a quite substantially discounted price. And so we're really excited about that. So we encourage you, if you haven't yet done that and you want to make a pledge towards or give towards the pews, then you can just fill in the form or write on your envelope saying pews. Jane?
Hi.
It's on.
It's on? Okay. I would like to invite all the ladies to the Women's Fellowship Group. We are going to be meeting on the second Tuesday of every month from 1:30 till 3:30 p.m. We'll meet here at the church, and if we're going to go on a little road trip, then we will carpool and go where our program is set up. So the purpose of this is for fellowship and prayer support for each other, our Rockcliffe family and leaders, our city, and our country, to learn about not from knowledgeable speakers in our community, such as dietitians, healthcare professionals, entrepreneurs, farmers, conservationists, artists, etc., to explore our community. And I I found the Rural Gardens Tour, and it's rural gardens in Grey Bruce all around the area. You can just drop in and walk around at beautiful flower gardens. There's a Billy Bishop Museum, the Tom Thompson Art Gallery, Grey Roots Museum. These are all places that are so close to us, and it's an opportunity to investigate. So if you would like more information, yeah, just give me a call. And second Tuesday of the month, so that's the next meeting will be on May 14th. Come out and pray with us. And I'm working on an item for us to do, and we will keep busy. Okay? Thank you.
Amen. Amen. What a great opportunity, ladies. I encourage you not to miss out on the opportunity to get together. And the Bible says, all the more as the day approaches, we should be together. Amen. And that so thankful for Jane and her heart towards helping us with reaching and coming together. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm completely whipped, tired. I don't even know if I can make it another day. Who knows even if I'm really making a difference here? I wonder if anyone really cares. Besides, you know, this talk, it's really not that good. It's really not going to make much of a difference. I can't pronounce anything. I'm not even good, really, as a person by myself. You know, people really just don't have a clue. They don't really understand how hard, how very lonely it is to be a pastor. I know God says he'll handle everything, but man, it sure seems like I have to do a lot. The spiritual pressures, it's really impossible to put in words. Kids are dismissed. Hearing from God, leading staff, preaching every week, casting vision and direction, making major decisions. So many people with so many different opinions. Being in the public eye, standing up week after week to give a fresh word from the Lord. Maybe it's just too much for me. Hello? Attitude check. Hello? Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves. Hello? Attitude check. Today we're starting a new series called It's All in the Mind. Today the title or the part I want to deal with is about attitude and checking our attitude. Thankfully and honestly, that those thoughts that I just expressed, they're not recent thoughts. They're not thoughts that I've had and that for a very, very long time. But in my early years of ministry, I was plagued by many of those thoughts in my ministry. The series in that over the next few weeks we're going to study is a direct reflection of God's work that he started in me and in you the moment you gave your heart to the Lord. In completely renewing our attitudes and our thought and our life. And that we want to start with a scripture from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And that the attitude, really, before I get to that, your attitude is either the lock or it's the key to your success. You see, God's got a plan and a hope and a future for you and for me. And that plan will not change. It's like the fact that even if I don't say Jesus is my Lord, it doesn't change the fact that he is Lord. If I don't say Jesus is the King of Kings, doesn't change the fact he is the King of Kings. It's my personal acknowledgement of that. But I've seen it time and time again in my life, And I've seen it time and time again in thousands of lives that I'm influenced or connected or around, that your attitude is either the lock or it is the key to the success that God has destined for your life. Philippians chapter 2, 5, which to me is one of the most challenging scriptures to find in all of the Bible. And this is what the Bible says: your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Let's pray before I go any further here. And that just so that I don't get in trouble. Jesus, I just thank you right now, Lord. God, it is impossible to serve you. It's impossible to live like you without Holy Spirit's help. So once again, we come and we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come and lead, guide, and direct us today? We open ourselves up and we say, here I am. Here I am. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. Lead me to Jesus. Lead me to the cross. Lead me to the life that God has called me to walk. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would guide my words. Lord, I pray today as I release what you've placed in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. If you continue on in Philippians chapter 2, it says, my attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But in humility, he made himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a man, and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. You see, when you look at what Jesus endured for you and for me, he suffered and he died for us. Only living to glorify God. Not my will, Lord, but yours. If there's another way, is there? If not, God, your will. I just want to glorify you. You see, when you look at Jesus and as he endured and he walked through, he never complained once. You can't find one example in all of Scripture where Jesus reflected a negative attitude. And Scripture says to me that my attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. So where does this word attitude come from? Well, if you look at the Greek word, and that the Greek word phroneo, it's pronounced phroneo, to think. Now that word pronounces, it's not attitude, but what it is, and that it comes out as to exercise the mind, to have a strong opinion, to be mentally decided. You see, our decision, our thought process, our mental state of mind, our attitude, all should be the same as Christ. We segregate so much of our life. Well, this is the spiritual Phil, and this is Phil. But the Bible says that that's not the way it's meant to be. When you give your heart to Christ, you can't say, well, you can have the living room and the kitchen, but you can't have the bedroom. You can't have my closet because that's where I stuff everything when company comes over, right? You know, and I just kind of push it there. You can't have under the bed, heaven forbid. No, 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 no. When you say to Jesus, you can have all of me, he takes you at your word. That's why sometimes some believers can be very miserable. Because God took you at your word, and now he's poking into areas, but if you're not wanting it, then you become miserable. Why? Because at least with an enemy or someone else, you can find respite, or you can find maybe victory or break off or whatever, but I'm going to tell you now, you'll never win over God. And he's constantly coming. And it's not because he's pointing a finger or that idea. It's because he sees such greatness inside of you because he sees his son inside of you. And he looks at you and he sees his son and he's saying, wow, this is great. And he just tries to raise you up and set you free. Because that's what Jesus paid for. It's not for 80% feel free, but 100%. For whom the Son sets free is? And that we take something that is not a big deal and we make it into a big deal. We take something that is slightly negative and we let it grow into an enormous battle in our minds. Worry, negativity, doubt, fear, whatever the case would be. And yet Scripture says that our attitude, our phroneo, our thought process, our decision should be that of Jesus Christ. What we're going to do over the next weeks is we're going to look into God's Word, and we're going to ask His Word, we're going to ask Holy Spirit to do a supernatural work in our lives, to renew our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Don't conform any longer to the patterns of this world, be transformed by the renewing of your so that you will know His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Oh God, do a supernatural work in our mind, in our hearts, in our lives over these next days. In order to have our thought process changed, though, what I would like to do for us today is really build a foundation of understanding where we are personally and negative, where we're personally negative, and break us free of some things. Most of us battle with negative thoughts, if we're really honest. And we're going to try to be a little bit more candid this morning here. But our negative thoughts are in different areas. And what I'm going to do is challenge you to do is to be very, very honest. In your bulletin, you'll see a portion here where it says, you say over your life, and then what God says over your life in the Scripture to back that up. How many know this Scripture, the truth, will set you? We need to renew our mind. Because some of us are believing so many lies and speaking so much death over ourselves and everyone around us. And we don't even realize it. Also in your bulletin is some notes to follow along with me. And so if you have that, you can pull it out. If you find a pen in front of you, you might want to fill in a few blanks there. But what I'm going to do is challenge you to be very, very honest, to be very open, to take off your religious faith, off my religious face, and put on truthful face. Let us own up to our personal areas of negativity. If you look at your notes, I've listed 5 different areas of negativity. And so I want to walk through these for a moment. I'm going to explain them a little bit. And if you feel that, hey, that's something I struggle in that area, put a check mark beside it. So let's talk first, personal negativity. The first thing I've called is this really is area is called personal negativity. That's when you're negative about things about yourself. And when you think about yourself, are you constantly putting yourself down? Constantly when you think, do you feel like I'm falling short, or oh, I messed up, or oh, I'm not good enough, or something's broken with me, or something is not off with me? That's what I call personal negativity. You've met us said thoughts like, I don't have what it takes, you know. I just can't do it at all. No matter how hard I try, I can't get it all done. Everyone else gets all the breaks, but me. Or maybe you've said something like this before. No one appreciates me. All I have done to make things float, to get things done, just go, go, give, give, and nobody notices. Nobody appreciates me. No one knows just how valuable I am. Or maybe that personal negativity for you has to do with your physical body. You know, if I could just take a little bit off of this, and move it a little bit to somewhere else, you know, that would be great. Or maybe it's the guy saying, if only the hair on my head covered up, that's why I'm growing my hair to make it look okay so my wife still loves me and she feels I'm young. You know, was as fast growing as the hair in my ears. You know, that would be a great day. If I just had an extreme makeover, then I'd be happy. Those of you, if you're honest enough to say, yes, I battle with personal negativity, would you be so real to raise your hand? Personal negativity. You see, you can put your hand down, so put a check mark by that box. See, half of the battle is being real. I don't know about you, but I don't want to fake it till I make it. I've grown up in church long enough to realize you never make it. You're just always stuck in this place. It stunts your maturity, it stunts your growth, and you stay there. Because if we can't be real with ourselves, how are we praying? How do we even know what to pray? But when we become real with ourselves, then all of a sudden we can come into a place, and when we pray, we can pray with confidence and boldness. Second area is relational negativity. The next area of negativity I want to talk about is what I call relational negativity. We're negative about relationships. You know, every time I trust a person, I just get burned. I can't trust men as far as we can throw them. They're all the same. Oh, I wish that my wife was like so-and-so. I wish that my husband was different. If I have to pick up another pair of dirty underwear on the ground, I'm just going to throw up on the spot. He'll never change. She'll never change. They're all the same. Or maybe your relational negativity has to do with work. You know, my boss, she's so mean, crusty. Can't stand working for him or her. And you know the people? They're all weird. I can't stand working with them. Maybe your negativity even goes into your family members. My family is from the loony bin. Holidays are always so awkward. Everything is so messed up in my family. You see, relational negativity, those of you that maybe struggle in that area, if you'd be honest today, and that would you raise your hand and just say, you know what, I struggle in that area of relational negativity. Let's move on. Put a check mark there if that's the case. Circumstantial negativity. Let's look at that third area, negativity. I call it circumstantial negativity, and that we're negative because of the circumstances. That's the short way of it. If I was married, then I'd be happy. And then the married folks say, if I was married to someone else, then I would be happy. If only I had children, then I'd be happy. If only my children would move out, I'd be happy. If only I had a better job, I had more money. If I had a car that worked, if I had a bigger house, our house is so small. Circumstantial negativity, I'll never get out of debt. Life is not fair. Those of you who would say circumstantial negativity gets the best of me at times, and I get caught into that cycle, that crazy cycle that spins me around with the circumstances around, would you be honest enough just to raise your hand for a moment? Listen, no one's in the back writing down who did what. Don't worry, this is not about that. It's about you being honest and about breaking the fear. Right? The Bible says, and that to share your burdens, to share your faults with one another, that you might be made whole. There's a spiritual element what I'm trying to lead us in right here to help us to become free. There is nothing that you struggle with that's not common to man. You're not alone. And so hopefully by some of the hands going up, you're going to realize that and someone's going to be free today in Jesus' name. The next area we're looking at is spiritual negativity. Spiritual negativity, and that is, you know, kind of like, why is it that God answers everybody else's prayers, but when I pray, nothing seems to happen. People tell me God speaks to me, and God said this, and I said that, and God said this, and I prayed that, but to me, it's all just silence. Christians seem to be the worst. Never do business with Christians. Some of you, you've got spiritual negativity in your heart towards church. Why? Because there's no church in any town that would live up to your standards. You have a gift of criticism. And the enemy, he just uses that whole part of spiritual negativity and how he pours that out. How come I can't get close to God? No matter how hard I try, I don't seem to get close to him. And that those of you that struggle in that area of this spiritual negativity, when it comes to things of God, well, I don't know if that was really from God. You know, when God moves by the Spirit, all of a sudden it becomes like a joke. Instead of seeking him a little more. God, is that really you? Because if it is, that's where I want to be. If you find yourself falling into that trap, you know, oh, I would have paused 3 times on that chorus, Dave, and then I would have went to the bridge a little earlier. Come on. If only the pastor said this verse when he was preaching, then it would have made the difference. That spiritual part, when we're trying to connect to God, and all of a sudden we get distracted by other things, and then we become critical about it. If you're here today and you find that that's been a struggle, and that, then you can put your hand up. And it's, again, it's not for me looking, I'm not looking. But it's that part of being set free. It's that taking that step to say, God, like the woman with the issue of blood, you're reaching out to say, God, I want to be free. You can hang on to it if you want to. That's your choice. But I'm going to tell you, you'll never be free. You'll never walk in the fullness if you hang on to your old self. If you hang on to the negativity, you hang on to the flesh, you'll never end up fully being alive. Because he says he doesn't want to renew your flesh. He wants your flesh dead. He's renewing your spirit. So you can come alive in him. You see, if we don't get this basic concept, then we're going to find it really difficult and hard, and no one gets me, and this is just, and I'm not getting what I want, and I'm this is this, or this is that. And the enemy can get it, the best of us caught, into these traps that the enemy uses. Last one on your list is nitpicky negativity. I added this category, which I think is important. This is kind of the catch-all of negativity. You probably have had someone similar in that saying, you know, you're driving the car. Someone is going incredibly slow in front of you, and that makes you really crazy and frustrated. You don't cuss because you're a good Christian, but you want to. And you know, it's just at my house, when the milk runs out or my wife says, hey, milk is bad for you, read it on the internet, so you shouldn't have it. So then she tries to make us drink this almond milk and soya milk, and I'm telling you, they taste terrible. I know that, you know, Melanie, you said that you really liked it, but for me, I love milk with my cookies. I love milk with chocolate. And it just, you just can't survive a day without having milk in the house, you know, because you need it at the end of the day for that cookie or whatever. You need it at the beginning of the day for the cereal or something. I mean, sorry, I'm being picky. Life just shuts down without milk. No bedtime snack, no breakfast. Woe is me. Nitpicky negativity. Why don't they just hire someone who speaks English? One of your telemarketer calls, one of your service calls. Nitpicky negativity. My hair won't do what I want it to do. Why won't my cell phone ring? Yeah. The list can go on and on and on about that nitpicky negative part. Some of us were more prone to that because of the way we grew up, the pattern that we learned around us. But remember Romans 12:2, don't conform any longer to the pattern of your family, the pattern of this world, the pattern of your job place, the pattern of this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's come to set us free. He's come to move us into a better place. Different areas that we're identifying that we are asking the Lord to help set us free from. Don't believe everything you think. Thoughts are just thoughts. I don't know how many times I hear people say, oh, I had this dream. God said I'm to leave my wife, or God said I'm to do this. It was in a dream. God speaks through dreams, you know. I'm like, okay, whoa, okay. Take your dream, line it up with Scripture. Does it line up with Scripture? Then maybe it's from God. Then maybe it is. Go back to him and seek him about it. Thoughts are just thoughts. Listen to me. We need to get this. A lot of the thoughts in your head are not your thoughts. Don't take ownership of them. It's because you watched that movie. And the enemy now is using from something from that to drop it into you. Right? It's because you're single and you're listening to those love songs way too much. They're on repeat too much. Because your heart's longing. So what does the enemy do? He uses something from there to pick at you and to poke at you to make you make a decision that you know that wouldn't be good. I don't know how many times I've had conversations with young couples and, we're gonna get married and that one day, but we're just going to save some money because God's in about being, you know, good stewards of our finances. So they take that scripture. He wants us to be good stewards. So we're going to move in together so we can save. It's scriptural because he wants us to be good stewards. And this is what it's all about. You can't take one scripture and make a major course decision in your life without the balance of scripture. Because it's so easy for us to pick something. It's so easy for us to have this thought coming in the back of our head and we don't even know what it is. You come up towards someone and right away, most of us, the first time you meet someone, you come up, you've already made a judgment call of who they are and what they're like and whether you like them or don't. And then we take years, we take months after that, just trying to break those walls that we came up of negativity right off the bat. And we struggle with this. Why? Because you have an adversary, you have an enemy that is out constantly throwing fiery darts and flames at you. And if you don't have your helmet of salvation on, if you don't have the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of readiness, peace, the shield of faith, and sword of spirit in your hand, understanding that I'm in a battle every day. My feet hit those ground. Thank God I'm alive. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in it. And you get up and you understand you're in a battle. Then you are not putting your armor on, and the enemy is going to wreak havoc upon you with this negativity. And he's going to drop thoughts in your head. He's going to push and move you around like a pawn because you're not putting on the armor. You're not recognizing who you are and you're giving in to those lies. The Word of God tells us in Philippians 2:5 that we have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. The moment that you become saved, your mind, you flip because now you're walking of the Spirit and you have the mind of Christ. You can think, you can walk, and you can talk like Jesus did. It's all a matter of choice. Are we living by the Spirit, where I have the mind of Christ? I'm seated in heavenly places. I've got all heaven's resources at my supply. I've got the freedom because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Or am I going to live in the old way, in the flesh, where I don't have the mind of Christ. I have Phil's mind. I don't have the freedom, I don't have the strength. I don't have the abilities. I don't have that extras. I'm out here by myself doing my own thing. And so the Word of God tries to remind us that you have that mind of Christ. You can take captive those thoughts. You can do what the Word of God says. Not in your own strength, but in Christ who strengthens you. So why is this important? Proverbs 23:7, in the New American Standard Version, says it this way. If you can help me out. It says, for as a man, what? As a man thinketh, as he thinks. For as a man thinketh, so he is. You see, I shared earlier, you know, on that part, we create the world around us. God just wants us to do it by faith. That we can speak into our unsaved loved ones. We can speak into circumstances. We can speak in when the government does something that's way off. We can begin to speak into it with confidence, knowing that with God, all things are possible. And by faith, we're going to speak into it. We're going to declare it. We're going to bring it forth before him. And then we're going to draw it back in. You create the world around you. Jesus created God through Jesus and Holy Spirit created everything by speaking it out. Let there be light. And there was light. Thoughts come into our head. We've got to process them pretty quick. Because you know and I know if you let it dwell there, it'll spin. And then eventually it starts sinking in that you believe that thought. And this is where part of our defense right off the bat is to take captive these thoughts, to put them into submission of Christ. So Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take really a fairly risky part over these next few weeks as I really open up. For some of you see me, you know, as this super pastor and got it together, but the truth of it is I'm just a regular guy and I've got my struggles and you've got your struggles and we're just doing our best to try and hear from God and move with him. And I'm just asking God that I just don't want negativity and that to hold me up any longer. Sunday, you know, in Sundays, you know, I really take time to listen to God and try to be in tune with him to hear where God is working and what he wants to do. I take this time very seriously. I'm looking for the treasure in people. Very incredibly focused, and that, but it's also can be draining like you could ever imagine. And afterwards, on Sunday afternoon, and that my wife sometimes will say, you know, Phil, all you want to do is just sit on the couch and watch a show. Like, what's going on? I just really feel like sometimes I feel this drain. And then Mondays, I used to take Monday off because every pastor takes Monday off. That was what I was told growing up. And then all of a sudden I realized, why am I taking Monday off? I dreaded Mondays. I hated Mondays. It was the Monday blues. And I would say it out loud. I would talk about it. And then all of a sudden one day God spoke into my heart. And then he challenged me with a scripture. How many know that scripture can really change your life when you allow it? And as I opened my heart to the Lord and I asked him, then all of a sudden Psalms 118:24 came into my heart on Monday. This is the day the Lord has made, so I will rejoice and be glad in it. At that moment of reading it, it seemed like it really read me. Mondays are from God. They're his day, and there's no reason why I have to choose and accept it as a bad day. Instead, I can make a biblical choice to focus my attitude not on what has been, but instead on what could be. God's word, God's truth. You see, that is God's day just as much as any other day. And therefore, by embracing it all the way into work the next day on Tuesday or Thursday or whatever, Wednesday, Thursday, whatever day it might be as we get going, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will see God's hand in everything. I will see his favor at work. And then guess what happens? Your Monday gets redeemed. Your Saturday gets redeemed. Your Sunday, your Tuesday, your Wednesday, whatever day, it gets redeemed. Because now it's under his covering. Because as your feet hit the ground, you're saying, okay, God, lead me. Instead of you trying to aimlessly get out of your bed and trying to figure out what to do, and we all get lost. We all get lost at times. Whereas Holy Spirit is the best guide there ever is. And if we allow him to lead us, he will lead us. Not perfect, but better. Mondays aren't always perfect, but they're better now. Since God has renewed my attitude and my mind. However, it not only applies in that to you, but we can use it. We can move into that. And the verse that really speaks on my prayer process through the negative thoughts is Ephesians 4, 22 and 24. If you have a Bible, you can look at it. And the Bible says this, you were taught to put off your old self. You are taught to put off, regarding to the former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. And to put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. You are made new in the attitude of your mind. We need attitude checks. Because we're supposed to have the same attitude as Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We lack nothing. We have every ability because greater is he that it is than he is in the world. That we are created to do the same things Christ did and even greater. So there's no reason why we can't walk forward. Your attitude should be that of Christ. The day the Lord Jesus has made and I will rejoice. Positive attitudes. I want to close with this. Three that I've made in my life that just have shaped my life. And that in my early years of ministry, and that's why I think different, I walk different, and I move different, is because his word has transformed me in many areas. And these are three of the majors that I've done, and I want to share them with you. Number one is, of these personal promises that I've made to God, if you're taking notes, this is number one. The first is, I will not hang out with negative people. I just won't. And now I'm not going to, you know, say, well, you know, that doesn't mean I'm not hanging or loving on negative people or ministering to negative people, but I'm not going to invite them into my inner circle. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 15, 33, that bad company corrupts good character. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take long. You go into a workplace, one person negative, the whole atmosphere changes. You're on a sports team, one negative. Oh, we're not going to win. Oh, this isn't so good. Oh, I don't like this. The whole team goes sour. You see, God's warned us about this. So God and I, we've walked through this many years ago because I thought I was Jesus and I tried to save everyone. And then he reminded me that I wasn't. So this is one of those positive promises that I made to God and he's helping me with, is that we must make a choice not to hang out with negative people. People that are gossiping all the time, people that are backbiting all the time, people that are negative all the time. Why? Because you're not helping them. I hear so many times people, oh yes, but if I just get around them, that's going to change. How many years have you been around them and have they changed? Because greater is he than in you. And if you walk into that room, it should change. When Jesus shows up, everything should change. Amen? And if it isn't changing, the first moment you're in there and you don't feel courage and boldness to come up and say, ah, you shouldn't talk like that. And you don't feel that courage and boldness, hightail and run. Hightail and run. Go back and say, okay, God, whoa, wait a minute here. I don't know if I like that conversation. I don't know if that's a healthy place for me, God. I'm going to need you to equip me better. So if I'm back into that place again and you want me to minister there, you're going to give me everything I need, because he says, whom he calls, he will equip. And that's not just a calling for life, but if God's calling you into someone's life, it's because he wants to raise them higher through you. He doesn't want you just to keep them in the same place. And that's our problem in our Christianity and in our walk right now is we like stroking ourselves and stroking others, that we keep people where they are. That's why in North America, we have the most immature churches around the planet right now. People that have been saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years, but yet all of a sudden someone gets saved, they're only saved a year or two, and they're more mature in the faith than someone that's been in there for 50 years. Why? Because that person in for 50 years either wasn't discipled properly or they got stuck. They got stuck and they just wouldn't let themselves pass something. Whatever you do in your heart, don't get stuck. From glory to glory, God wants to renew your heart. He wants to show you things. He wants to bring you alive. Look for the good. Don't look for the negative. Next promise. And I'm not really perfect, but I'm trying to get better at, is I will not dwell on negative thoughts. They may enter my mind, but I'm not going to let them develop or cook inside of my head so that they become into something bigger. I'm not going to dwell on those negative thoughts. I made that a choice a long time ago. My wife and I have had a conversation. I have conversations with my staff and others around me, and I say, okay, guys, I just want you to know, if God and I can't handle it in 3 days, don't ask me why 3 days. That was just what God and I talked about at an earlier age, and I've kind of stuck with that. If we can't handle it in 3 days, I am coming to you, because I'm not going to allow my life to be controlled by something I might be thinking, you might be thinking, and I'm wondering, I don't know, maybe this is it. No, no, no. I'll just come and talk to you. And if I'm not coming to talk to you, it's because there's nothing there, right? Remember, ladies, guys can have a nothing box in their head, right? Ladies' brains are like spaghetti, all these wires, and it's running, and they can think, and it's going like this, and it's so much. I mean, we are envious of that sometimes as guys, but we can have a nothing box in our head as guys, and we just retreat, and our wives say, hey, what are you thinking about? Nothing. Well, how can you think about nothing? Because it's like the kids, oh, this and this, oh, and this, and okay, this, and we're just like, nothing. I run to that box a lot when it comes to this idea. And I ask the Lord, God, I don't want to be controlled by this. And so with your help, I don't want to dwell on negative thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we take captive every thought. Can you say that with me? Every thought. Not one thought a week, not one thought a day, but every single thought that comes into your head, you are to take captive and make it obedient to Christ. That's your responsibility. Now, can you do it? Nope. Not without Holy Spirit's help. You see, this walk with Christ, he made it impossible to serve him. You can't just follow 614 laws. You just can't follow just the Ten Commandments. Follow this and everything's going to be okay anymore. That was the Old Testament. And we all rejoice. Yeah, we're free. Look what Jesus did for me. Everything is great. But now he's made it impossible for you to serve him without him. Now you can't just do some rules and do some things and I'm okay, you're okay, as long as I do this and I don't do that. Now it's about a relationship. It's about opening your heart to him and allowing him to open his heart to you. And all of a sudden, you fellowship with him. He fellowships with you, and you grow, and you develop, and you move. So we're to take every thought captive. That's your responsibility as a believer in Christ. Take those thoughts captive. This doesn't mean that negative thoughts won't enter into your mind, but when anything enters in your mind that does not honor God, grab it. Take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. The third promise, and that as I close, the third promise that I made with God, and he's been helping me with this more and more over the past almost 10, 12 years, is I will replace negative thoughts with God thoughts. So first is, I'm not going to hang with negative people. It's just something I have to guard. I have to protect this treasure that God has placed inside of me. And it's so easily corrupted by this world because my flesh is weak. My spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. I'm just a regular guy just like you. I've got no super force field around me, and I got to protect that because it's really easy to get down, is it not? Doesn't take much to get down in the dumps. Doesn't take much to move into the Eeyore concept. Woe is me. If only they did this. If anyone would just say hello. It's easy to move in there. But you're better than that. I'm better than that. Because the great I am lives inside of us. And as believers in Christ, it's that maturing part that we kind of pull up our pants a little bit and we kind of come into that place to say, okay, I'm going to take captive these thoughts. And I'm going to bring them in obedient to Christ. I'm not going to dwell on negative thoughts. I'm going to replace the negative thoughts with God thoughts. Instead of saying my boss is terrible, maybe, you know, God, I'm going to replace that. But God, you placed me in my boss's life for a reason. Reveal that to me, Lord. Help me to love him. Help me to love her. Help me to come beside him. Help me to reveal you to them. Instead of my spouse will never change, maybe God is trying to change me. Instead of changing them, he's trying to change me. Maybe I just need to change my thoughts. Instead of I'll never climb out of doubt, with God, all things are possible. Instead of I'm not good enough and I can't, to replacing it to a scripture that God says I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Instead of I'm going to be a victim, change it to I'm a victor. I'm an overcomer. There's nothing that comes against me that I can't stand up or walk through, walk under, walk around. Because God has made a way. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, we replace negative thoughts with God thoughts. So here's what Scripture says in Philippians chapter 4, 7 and 8. I wrote this on my last church wall and one of our walls and that just because it just so we need it in front of us. I don't know, maybe we'll paint it on a wall here. And that, but Philippians 4, 7, 8, it says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds. What will guard your heart and mind? The peace of God. How many are ready and needing some peace? Right? I don't know about you, but I need peace constantly in my life. And the last promise that Jesus gave us before he left was, peace I leave to you. He says, I give it to you. A peace that goes beyond understanding. So it goes on and it says, that the peace which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, this is where we're at. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. If it's not, take how many thoughts? All into captivity and bring it in submission to Christ. Now, that doesn't mean you're the boss. And all of a sudden, you got dilemmas and problems and it's coming across. You're thinking about this and how do I navigate? How do I do this? Why? That's not negative. That's you walking through that process because God placed you in a place to actually do something about it. Amen? But if you're the little boy in the back room doing your job and doing your thing, and some big decision comes that you have no power over, why would you even dwell on it? Why even think about it other than bringing it to God as a prayer? God, give wisdom. Give wisdom to that leadership. Give wisdom to my boss. There's a big decision. It could impact me, but I'm okay because you got me. But God, they're going to need it, Lord. Would you just begin? Turn it around. Take captive that thought and begin to speak life over it and into it. Amen? It's all in your mind. Attitude check. Phroneo, your attitude should be like that of Christ, to put off the old self and be made new in the attitude of your minds. Starting out today, I reveal to you some of the negative thoughts that I had earlier in my ministry. Oh, they tried to come back. They've tried to come back at times. They were pretty hard for me to navigate through. And that, but here is the renewed thoughts that I walk in. And this is how I think today. So I thought I, instead of starting with the old me, I'm going to share where I think today and how I tick. God has chosen me and called me to do what I've uniquely been equipped to do. Every week, God gives me a message and prepares the hearts of his people to hear the message that he's put in my heart. I'm prepared, I'm well equipped to deliver his truth with passion and biblical integrity. And when I do, the Spirit of the living God transforms lives. Today, destinies will be changed. I believe with everything inside of me. Eternities will be altered. Marriages will be healed. Lives will be changed. I'm a messenger of truth of the living God. I'm blessed to lay down my life to serve his bride. I am blessed. God has trusted me with three wonderful children and an amazing wife. He's imparted his truth and give me the opportunity to share it with them with passion. God has trusted me with two great families, one called Rockcliffe and one called the Smiths. I can only pray that the remaining days of my life that God would allow me to continue to lead his people to becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. It's all in your mind. My attitude is becoming more and more like Christ every day. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what we as a leadership of Rockcliffe is aiming for, is that our hearts and our minds would move towards being more like Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now. Lord, we've been a bit transparent. We've laughed a little. We've walked through, which really is sometimes very muddy and cloudy waters. It's hard to see clear, Lord. It's hard to see the bottom in the middle of this. And sometimes we don't want to take another step out because what if there's no bottom there and we fall right in? But God, Lord, I know, Holy Spirit, that you're speaking, you're moving even now as I speak, Lord, and you are wanting to actually shift our lives from glory to glory, inch by inch, moment by moment, never to be the same again. Those wildest dreams that you've placed in our heart that one day maybe somehow I might be free, somehow I might be in that feeling this way or moving in a good direction, God, bring them into reality, Lord, I pray. Lord, as we begin to bring every thought into captivity, Lord, as we guard ourselves from that negativity, Lord, as we recognize the areas of weakness that we have and we start to begin to pray and come around on how to build those things up, Lord, that we are no longer controlled by that, but we're controlled by you, Holy Spirit. So help us replace the negative with God thoughts, your thoughts, Lord, because we want to have the attitude of Christ and we know we have the mind of Christ because that's what Scripture says. So we're already equipped for this, Lord. So all the lies and the deception and the bad habits and the patterns that we have been shared or told or shown through the years, may today be the day that they change. Even if an inch and a step, we're going to move into that direction of allowing you to take control of those areas. And so, Lord, I just thank you for each and every one here today. And Lord, with honesty in our heart, as we lay it out before you, as we draw close, you're faithful to draw close to us. Lord, as we cast our cares on you, you're so faithful to take those things and then begin to work through them with us. God, as we ask you to forgive us of our sins, you are so faithful as the east of the west to remember them no more. So what are we afraid of? What's holding you back today? Is whatever it is that's there, is it worth allowing that to cut in on you in front of you and God? Because that's what it's doing. Put that back into the right place. Take that thought and bring it into submission. If you're having little thoughts come up even now as we've been walking through this morning, just know that's just the enemy scared, because he doesn't want you to be free. He wants you stuck in a rut and in a circle. And so, Lord, I just pray a release right now in the name of Jesus Christ for each and every one, Lord. God, Lord, that this would be day one, ground zero at the foot of the cross as we just came to communion and we resetting ourselves once again is day one. Lord, we took 21 days to fast, to reset ourselves, to tell our bodies you're not controlling us anymore. God, Lord, I pray, Lord, you even put on some people's hearts over the next little bit to even fast their thinking. That, God, they would just come into a place that, you know what, hey, over these next few days, I'm going to, or over this next week, I am going to, every time, whether they put elastic around their wrist, so every time they think a negative thought, they just give their wrist a little snap to help them, wait a minute. Or they give permission to someone close to them to say, hey, if I'm negative, tell me right away. Don't let me sit in it. Tell me. God, Lord, that we would take serious this part that is so robbing us of your direction, of your future, of your promises, of your will. And so, Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord. Nothing is going to be the same again. And so we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And I speak blessings and favor over each and every one today, Lord, as we not only become hearers of the word, but we put it into practice. And so we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen and amen.